Welcome back, everyone, to the Chicago Sports Network. I'm your host, Reikley Ruby, and today we'll be diving into all of the NFL news as free agency is only a week away. The Aaron Rodgers extension for massive amounts, the Russell Wilson trade, and the other small franchise tag moves that have been made, and the non-franchise tags moves that have been made as we dive into all of this NFL content on the Chicago Sports Network today. Welcome back, everyone, from the break. Again, make sure you download that Anchor app as it is our sponsor for today's show. So let's get into today's news as we continue talking about the NFL frenzy that happened today as the franchise tag deadline ended at 4 p.m. today. Because of this, you had the franchise tagging of stars like Davante Adams, Mike Gesicki, and, what's his name? But you also had the contract extensions of Mike Williams, the wide receiver for the Los Angeles Chargers, that lasted 3 years and $60 million, which is a substantial amount, given that Mike Williams is an okay wide receiver, but not a great wide receiver. And it also puts Mike Williams as one of the highest paid wide receivers in the NFL right now, even though he's not even like a star, I would say, in the NFL. But the biggest news of the day, well, two big pieces of news, and I'm going to split them up real quickly here, but we're going to talk about the impact of the Aaron Rodgers extension, which as of now is reported to be 4 years, $200 million, which would make him the highest paid NFL player in history, being that Patrick Mahomes just signed a 10-year, $450 million contract with the Kansas City Chiefs that paid him $45 million a year. This deal would pay Rodgers $50 million a year. So the reason why I wanted to bring this up into podcast is, first of all, I want to say sorry to anybody that listens or follows my podcast because I have been a little bit slacking on the podcast side of things. And to be honest, I've been slacking on it, a lot of it. But as I end out my junior year, I just took the ACT today, so I have a lot going on. But later on in April and May, I have a lot less going on, so you expect more content. But as we continue, do you not need to hear my life story right now? So with this, you see a lot of different contributing factors. Starting with this, the NFC is completely out of quarterbacks. Where did they all go? I think they left all their either retirement, like Drew Brees and Tom Brady, or even you could say Philip Rivers, who was an AFC quarterback, but you still get the point. You have guys that are moving to the AFC, like Russell Wilson, as we will talk about in the second half of today's show. But the reason why I bring this up is because Aaron Rodgers, well, him, Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray, and Dak Prescott are really the four QBs that are the only ones that are proven and on a semi-substantially good team. I'm not including guys like Matt Ryan with the Falcons, who doesn't even have a wide receiver core anymore, with the losses of Julio Jones last season and Calvin Ridley for being stupid this season. So you have a lot of problems here throughout the NFC, problems that could benefit teams like the Bears, the Eagles, and any team that can get it together in the NFC South, because the NFC South right now does not have an established quarterback on a good team at all. You have the Carolina Panthers, who their quarterback, I guess, is Sam Darnold. You have the Tampa Bay Bucks, who I guess their quarterback is either Blaine Gabbert or Felipe Franks, and I trust neither of them. Or not Felipe Franks, I'm sorry. Not the transfer from Florida, the draft pick from Florida, Kyle Trask. And then in the Saints department, you maybe have the best quarterback situation on a semi-competent team, but I also think the Saints are falling off a little bit because you have the losses of guys like Drew Brees and just the losses that you had it with Trey Hendrickson, as you saw the value of him as he played for the Bengals as they went on to their Super Bowl run this season. So the Saints do have Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, Ian Book, Trevor Siemian, but to be honest, I have no idea who is the best quarterback in that division on a competent team, because I think the Bucks are a good team. I think the Panthers have good pieces, and I think the Saints have some good pieces, but I think they'll probably be at the bottom of the division just because I don't think they have a quarterback. And to be honest, I just don't understand why Ian Book, being a fourth-round draft pick, only got one start last year. And don't get me wrong, I think that it wasn't deserved, but I just don't get why you draft him in the fourth round then. But understand all of this. After all of this drama, you have an NFC East with absolutely no quarterback and no teams in it that are really proven outside of the Dallas Cowboys. And even though the Philadelphia Eagles had good success this season, even making the playoff run that they are the making it to the playoffs, which they did. The problem is, they are just kind of like lacking in sustainable success, and I just don't know if I trust them. We'll see after these three first round picks, because understand this, the Eagles right now, I think the Eagles, the Bears, and the Lions are going to be some of the most improved teams in the NFL just based on their situation. The Bears and the Lions schedule eases up quite dramatically from having the NFC or not yeah the NFC West and the AFC North on your schedule. Instead, you have, I think it's the AFC East and the NFC South. So you went from two of the strongest divisions in football, if not the two strongest divisions in football, to two of the weakest divisions in football. So the one thing that I will say with that both benefits the Lions and the Bears, but to talk about the third team that I said with the Eagles is this. They have three first-round draft picks. That team is in desperate need of another star wide receiver, offensive line help, another cornerback, and probably additions to the defensive line, especially, in my opinion, an edge rusher. You could really use a big edge rusher. I don't know whether you're going to be able to get the type of edge rusher that I would want, which would be a guy like Thibodeau or Hutchinson or even a Trayvon Walker. But I think that you could get a guy like, I don't know, maybe a Jordan Davis to learn under a guy like Fletcher Cox, who could be shuttled into that system. So I think the Eagles could see dramatic rises, but then again, I could also see teams like if the Cowboys, or not the Cowboys, the Giants get it all together, maybe they're good. Maybe if the Washington football team finds, not the football team, Washington Commanders, again, you guys just suck at names. I don't need to get into my opinions. I think Commanders was an awful name. In my opinion, I would have liked to see the Washington Red Hogs, just because my uncle is a Razorbacks fan. So I think that name would have been funny and kind of entertaining. Either way, point being, is this. The NFL, especially the NFC, is in a quite interesting state. And the AFC, you just have a complete and utter, just, I don't know what to say, just because you have the NFC West. The NFC West, quarterback-wise, is just absolutely bonkers. Just absolutely bonkers. You have quarterbacks from Russell Wilson, who now has a team that, just like Peyton Manning, has a lot of contributing pieces that are very easy to have success with, like Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton, and it could have been Noah Fant until the trade, but either way, I don't need to get too far into it. Russell Wilson. You have Russell Wilson, then you have Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, and Justin Herbert. That division in itself is just absolutely stacked. It is going to be an absolute bloodbath for that division title, and I can tell you the Chiefs aren't going 7-1 or 6-2 in their division. It just ain't going to happen. You have the AFC South, which is probably the weakest division in the AFC, with teams like the Titans starting to struggle a little bit, the Colts falling off a cliff at the end of the season, the Jaguars and the Texans just have no identity. But then you have a division like the AFC North, again, with a lot of great quarterbacks from Joe Burrow to Lamar Jackson, to whatever you think of Baker Mayfield, good, bad, he's an average quarterback. He's not a terrible quarterback. He's an average to below average quarterback, which is a lot better than most of the teams in the NFC. The Steelers don't have a quarterback right now, but let's say they draft a Malik Willis, a Matt Corral, a Kenny Pickett. The quarterback situation could improve with a solid contributing cast from guys like maybe if Juju Smith-Schuster comes back, a Chase Claypool, and a Najee Harris there, and a solid offensive line at that. You have the AFC East, which has quarterbacks like Josh Allen. If Tua Tagovailoa is able to be developed under the new Dolphins head coach, maybe you could see a rise in the Dolphins. You obviously have Mac Jones and Zach Wilson. If Zach Wilson pans out or Trevor Lawrence pans out, again, the AFC gets incredibly strong compared to what they used to be. The only two question marks that I have about the NFC that you could see dramatic rises in, that you could see instead of having four quarterbacks, you could see six, and guys like Justin Fields and Trey Lance, who are in solid situations depending on what the teams do in free agency and in the draft. The Bears, especially with only Darnell Mooney and Daz Newsome returning as wide receivers, they obviously need a lot of wide receiver help. They need to fix the offensive line. The defense is solid, though, and obviously the Niners are a solid team that made the NFC Championship game and played pretty well. So you have all of that going for you. So now it comes down to this. What impact does Aaron Rodgers have? And what I mean by impact, does he win a Super Bowl? Does he have this or that? Right now, in my opinion, and maybe this is me being a biased Bears fan, but in my opinion, I think that this is a stupid move from the Packers. You just mean that you wasted a first-round pick on Jordan Love, a guy that has yet to play meaningful snaps in any game. And when I mean meaningful snaps, I understand that he has had some starts. I understand that he had snaps in the Saints game at the beginning of the season when the Packers decided not to play football. But here's the point that I want to make, and I want to make it very clearly. You're telling me that you're giving up on Jordan Love, and you're saying that your cap go to H-E double hockey sticks, because I don't want to cuss because then otherwise I'll get flagged. Either way, point being is this. I don't understand. That means that you are now over $47 million over the cap, and with Rodgers' increase, I don't know whether that hurt the cap or did not, because Rodgers had, I think, about a $40 million cap hit right now. I don't know whether that goes up to $50 million or whether it stays where it's at, because remember, this is an extension, so it technically doesn't start until next year. But it also depends on how they change the cap around with the contract, which they can do a lot with, but it also continues to cap strap them the same way the Saints are cap strapped in just absolutely no cap room, even though they don't have a quarterback, they don't have wide receivers, they're lacking on cornerbacks and all sorts of positions, but the Saints are in a little bit of trouble with no cap room whatsoever. So here's the point that I want to make is this very simply. The point that I want to make is the Green Bay Packers decided to shoot themselves in the foot and then shoot themselves in the other foot and then say, why don't we shoot ourselves in both of the legs and arms too while we're at it? Because I just don't understand why you draft Jordan Love, why you draft all of this stuff to understand this. And let me say this as clear as I possibly can. And again, this may be my Bears fan bias, but I really think it's an honest and good opinion. And what I want to say here is very clear. Aaron Rodgers is not a winner. He cannot win the big game. He will not win the big game. He has only won one Super Bowl, and most people thought it was this Mike McCarthy keeping you down. And to be honest, it may have been a little bit. But you also have to understand this. Aaron Rodgers is a great player. He's won back-to-back MVPs. He is simply a great player. But the problem with Aaron Rodgers is this very simply, this one fact. He is not a leader of men the way Tom Brady is, the way Peyton Manning is, the way Russell Wilson is. That's why those guys won multiple Super Bowls, is because they are leaders of men, not only just divas in the locker room. You have to understand this very, very clearly, because until Rodgers turns around his personality, and because, I don't know, and stops being an absolute crap person of a human being. And yes, he is, again, a great football player that puts up stats. But you want to know who also put up stats? What is his name? Bills quarterback. Oh, crap. 1991. Jim Kelly. I'm sorry. I completely forgot that. It kind of hurt my argument. Either way, Jim Kelly. You have Jim Kelly, absolute winner. And I won't even compare him to Jim Kelly in the sense that Jim Kelly didn't win a suit. I will compare him in the sense that he didn't win a Super Bowl. I won't care him that Jim Kelly was a diva. I don't think he was. Not in the same sense, at least more towards the end of his career. But here's the thing I will say. Aaron Rodgers will not win a Super Bowl, plain and simple. He has only won one in his entire career. And this is a guy that's been in the NFL for the past, I think, like 18, 19 years. So you have to understand this. Somebody explain to me what is going to change in these next 4 years. And it comes down to this. And this is why I introduced the entire topic in the first place. How does it affect the Bears? Understand this very simply. Justin Fields, unlike Aaron Rodgers, is not a crap person of a human being. He just simply is not. But one thing that I can say is, will Luke Getsy be the offensive coordinator we expect? Will Matt Eberflus become the coach we expect and what we really want? Because understand this, guys, the last time the Bears had a good coach, do you want to guess who he was? It was Lovie Smith. He is the one that brought him to the Super Bowl. And do you want to guess what was missing? The one position that was missing, and this is so simple and so obvious that it is almost sad to say, you had freaking Rex Grossman as your quarterback. If you have anybody else as your quarterback, that team wins the Super Bowl, plain and simple. You have the dynamic kick return ability of Devin Hester. You have the defense that was better than almost any other defense other than maybe the Ravens in 2000 and the Bears in 85. That team was awesome, but the problem is they had Rex freaking Grossman as their quarterback. The difference with this team is that Chicago actually has a real quarterback, a guy that can be a winner, a guy that is a winner. But here's the thing. Here's the biggest thing that I want to make so obvious in these next couple of minutes is that Justin Fields has to do this with a competent team and especially a competent coaching staff around him, which is not what Matt Nagy was with all of the ghosting stuff that went on with Allen Robinson and Mitchell Trubisky and whatever went on there. I want to explain this and I want to make this so clear. That is essential. I don't care who the offensive coordinator is. I just want Justin Fields developed just a teensy little bit because the rest of this Bears team can be good. I don't care what happens in the draft. I don't care what happens in free agency. All that matters is, can this coaching staff do one very simple thing. Can they develop Justin Fields? And again, this topic started on Aaron Rodgers and his contract extension. But it is much larger than that. You have to understand the picture that it sets in the NFC with Matthew Stafford and Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott and Aaron Rodgers. And then maybe the up-and-comers in Trey Lance and Justin Fields. And maybe the decline of players like Kirk Cousins and obviously, Jared Goff's already declined, but this NFC is wide open. The Bears had the opportunity to win 10 games and win 10 games pretty easily, in my opinion. Let me pull up their schedule here. It's not released exactly, but it is released who they will play. So let me explain this very quickly. The Bears play the Lions twice. They play the Vikings twice. I actually think it's easier for the Bears to beat the Vikings twice than it is for them to beat the Lions twice, but I expect you to win all four of those matchups. I expect at least a win out of the Packers matchup, and I also think this. You play the Commanders, you play the Eagles, you play the Bills, you play the Texans, and you play the Niners and Dolphins all at home. all of those games are at least winnable. The Bills game is going to be a difficult one. Do not get me wrong. But it will be a fun one and a game that should be a winnable one. Heading on to the next one, you have the Giants, the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Jets, and the Falcons. Understand this very simply. The Bears, most definitely, the Bears can win this division, and don't get me wrong. And when I say that, I mean it very simply. The Packers are on thin ice, and watch out. Just watch out is all I have to say. But I'm going to leave it here as I am going to go to a quick ad break so that way I can possibly rest my voice, and also so that way we can head into our next part of the show, the Russell Wilson trade to the Broncos that may be one of the biggest deals in NFL history. We'll be right back. Make sure you stay after the break. So now we are back after our quick ad break there. So to talk the Russell Wilson trade news, before we do, we have a quick word to say about Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley is kind of an idiot. So that's pretty much all I have to say. I don't know what to say other than this guy, like, dude, why would you bet on football games? You can bet on any other sport in the world. Cricket, softball, baseball, football. You can bet on freaking college football. You don't even have to be outside of the sport. You can bet on anything. I just don't understand it. But yeah, that's all I have to say about the Calvin Ridley news. If you wanted to know my opinion, I doubt you did. But hey, you're listening to this and you're still listening. So back to the trade between the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos. Remember this. I don't know if it's official yet. It is not official as of the recording of this. But Russell Wilson still has to accept the trade on his part. He can still technically reject it, and there is a physical that has to be done. So the trade is not like officially done. But I will say this, the development that the rebuild that the Seattle Seahawks are going to have to go through just kind of gives me a little bit of a weird look, because why the heck is Pete Carroll still the head coach? And don't get me wrong, I don't think Pete Carroll's a bad head coach that needs to be gotten rid of. I think the problem is why the heck does Pete Carroll want to stay? Why? I have an honest question. Why? Why is he not retired? He is, let me double check this. I think he is 78 years old. Pete Carroll's age. He is 70, not 78, 70. I'm sorry. But still, you're telling me a 70-year-old guy doesn't want to retire at this point? I just don't understand how much longer he wants to stay and why he does. So I expect a retirement from Pete Carroll either this year or next year. Second thing is this. The trade for Russell Wilson, in my opinion, is a win for both sides. To a degree. I think it's a win for both sides because I think Seattle needs the draft picks, because I think they need to rebuild, because like they said, their defense sucks. It's not very good. There's not a lot of energy. It's not very good. It's just not very good. Either way, point being is this. I think that the biggest issue with the defense and the Seattle Seahawks as a whole is that the drafting style with John Snyder, in my opinion, is just stupid. It's asinine. I just don't understand why you want to draft the way they draft. So, like, it's a win in both sides because I think that the Seattle Seahawks got what they need and the Denver Broncos got what they need. But, and understand this. Oh, let me, I probably should say this. The Seattle Seahawks received Drew Lock, Shelby Harris, who is a defensive lineman for the Broncos. Solid player, not great, but solid. And Noah Fant, the tight end. I like the Noah Fant deal. I really think that he is a solid contributing piece that could play next to Gerald Edwards. Or not Edwards, Everett, my bad. My bad if Gerald Everett is listening to this podcast. I'm sure he's not. But point being is this. They also got 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and a 5th-round pick. So, as I continue to talk about this, I don't understand why John Snyder does what John Snyder does sometimes. None of his picks make sense, like picking Rashawn Penny and just just some of the stupid stuff he pulls. So, like, it's a win in both directions to a degree. Denver got their quarterback. And Seattle got draft picks, which is what they need. The problem is I don't think Seattle's going to capitalize on those draft picks. I just don't think they will. The only question I have out of this entire thing is this, and this very simply. Does Seattle draft a quarterback this year? Because this quarterback class is not very good. It's not. And to be honest, I would say this. Does Seattle trade this first pick away, the 2022 one, for another first-round pick next year? Because that would make a little more sense if you want to draft a quarterback, because none of the quarterbacks this year, I think, are particularly good, unless if you think that Malik Willis could turn into the athlete, into the quarterback, the same way that Josh Allen did. Do you think that Pete Carroll still has that magic left in him? Which I think is fair, a fair thing to say, and a good thing to say. But, final thing that I want to end on before I end on this altogether is this. The AFC South is just The AFC West is just absolutely freaking loaded. So I feel bad if you are, I don't know, any team, a fan of any team in the AFC West, just because it's going to be a darn tough division to get. But point being, I want to do this, is ending this. Make sure that you are following this podcast, whether you're on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Anchor, Breaker, whatever you're on. Make sure you're following or subscribing. If you can, make sure you leave a rating. On some platforms you can, some platforms you can't. So like if you're on Spotify, leave a rating. If you're on Google Podcast, make sure you're following us and downloading every podcast. Anything else I want to say? Not really. So that is pretty much it for everyone today. Thank everyone for listening, and I will see you guys later on, probably next week, as I bring you guys an NFL recap of free agency, just like I did last year.